Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. It's lovely to have you back, genuinely. As I'm Marcus and I'm joined by James or Jim.
Hello.
Pete's here.
Yes.
And Luke is also with us.
All right, I can feel your enthusiasm, actually. Genuinely, yeah. I felt it.
Yeah. It's snowing.
Yeah, it's true.
And are you powered by snow?
James isn't.
No.
James is deflated by snow.
No. Luke threw a big snowball down the back of my head, frankly. It went all down my back.
James was really gutted.
I was miles away from him as well.
I was upset.
It was a good shot.
I was about 20 metres away when
you
I threw
naughty
it.
Naughty boys.
I told him not to, but he went and...
He's genuinely the most annoyed I've seen him.
Yeah.
Pete, I mean, he's down my back.
Yeah. Pete was taking ages to answer the door.
Oh.
God.
Oh, my.
Oh, dear.
Giddy Gertie. Well, that leads us neatly into the opening question. Which is
in what dimension?
Everything seems to. Whatever it is,
you must have blacked out at the link. Yeah. Which Premier League manager, gentlemen, would you like to see with his own television show, James?
Well, the obvious choice, Ian Holloway. Surely you just
there's an obvious choice.
Ian Holloway, yeah. Given free rein to do what he wants. Mm-hmm. I'd let him do anything, could have guests on. I think he'd almost be like Carl Pilkington. Do you know what I mean? He'd get really strange guests on. Like Carl Pilkington did that thing where he met like David Icke and people like that. Yeah. I'm sure he'd just get really odd people on, and then.
No, I would see Holloway doing like Hard Talk.
I think he'd get drunk with power. Talk. He'd get drunk with power.
Yeah, I think so. I think he would do something like Hard Talk or some political show, and he'd have people on who were just normal, but Holloway would think he was normal.
And so like Noel's HQ when it all got a bit really Daily Mail.
Exactly.
Kilroy.
He could do a Kilroy show.
Surely a lot warmer than that, isn't he, Holloway?
Yeah,
Kyle.
Yeah.
Oh, Jeremy Kyle.
He's not like Jeremy Kyle.
He could be.
Well, he could be if you just attribute him with
given the right substances.
That have nothing to do with him.
No, I think he would be nicer than he would
you're wrong
nice for that. Yeah,
it could confuse the audience with simile and metaphor, which they can't really handle.
Yeah, it would have no consistency. It'd be so different every week. Yeah.
If I had a house that suddenly just got up and started walking away.
Exactly, yeah, that sort of thing.
So what always happen on Holloway?
My mum's pregnant.
Holloway, Ian Holloway's free reign. That's what I call it.
You do what he wants. Channel 4, perhaps.
Ian Holloway's blank canvas every week.
Ian Holloway's free reign would be a business he'd set up, I think. Free reign, take them. Take my cups of free reign. I collected them myself.
Charging for this is wrong. It's just wrong.
I just got that. What do you mean you don't need rain? Sort your life out.
So-called person.
Okay. Pete, what on earth have you got?
I'm torn between Chris Hughton's detective agency and Secret Millionaire with Mark Hughes. I think I'm going to go for Secret Millionaire with Mark Hughes.
Well, he's going to...
Well, he'd spend his time sort of following Rocky Santa Cruz around, right? Pretending that he's got no vested interest at all. And then bang!
Yeah.
There's 3 million quid. For you, come join me.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a well.
You don't even have
answer.
To play.
Yeah, exactly. He just wants him close.
Mark Hughes has got that really.
We all want him close.
He's got a very perfect manner for that particular show, because in Secret Millionaire, a lot of it is when they just sit down with the people really calmly and talk to them and then give them the check. Mark Hughes could do that brilliantly.
Yeah,
he's so calm and quiet.
Yep.
I love the way you conduct yourself.
Yeah.
Here's a million.
He's not Ian Holloway. We've done him.
Welsh, Wales, the West Country. Same. It's got W in it.
Similar.
Luke Moore.
If there's one man who's cut out for television, I think we can all agree, the charisma, the personality.
Phil Brown's not in the Premier League anymore.
Avram Grant's the Price is Right.
Avram Grant was in Danger Mouse.
A dating show. Tell me it's a dating show.
It's The Price is Right.
Oh, okay.
Come on down. Imagine it.
Avram on.
Yeah, it'd be good. I'd watch it.
Which show was The Price Is Right now?
To be honest, I'd watch any show where a Premier League manager was just in it.
Is that the one with the conveyor belt?
No.
The Price Is Right.
That is at the end.
Which one's the one with the hot spots?
Doesn't Joe Pasquale do it?
That's Michael Barrymore's fucking, what's it called?
Strike It Lucky.
Yeah.
Oh, well, never mind.
Later changed to Strike It Rich.
Was it? Oh, good.
That's fair enough.
Avram Grant is made for telly. We all agree on that. Move on. Give me the points. Just go on.
That's a makeup job, isn't it? Christ on the bike. Yeah, yeah. Can you give us three hours for those fucking tunnel eyes that you've got?
Possibly the only man ever to spend more time in makeup than Marcus.
What?
You know what you've done.
What? I'm going to move on, you pointless sod. I reckon Owen Coyle could be a bit showbiz.
He would do like a variety show. He'd sing Rat Pack songs and stuff. Absolutely, yeah, he would. Yeah,
I think Coyle could definitely do that, because I think Owen Coyle's actually quite a cheery bloke, which is surprising for a Scottish manager.
I think he's all right. I quite like him.
Yeah, and he, you know, he likes a bit of flair, as you can see by the way he plays his football. Mm.
But David Moyes is ultimate fighting champion.
That would be brilliant.
Ultimate ginger champion.
Pulis. Pulis would be a Kyle job, wouldn't he? Do you not think?
Yeah, Pulis would do like his own version of Deadliest Men.
Yeah.
Wouldn't he? Every episode would end with him headbutting James Beattie. Can you imagine the producer going, there's no relevance, it's going in.
Yeah. Big Sam, Hole in the Wall, Bring on the Wall
of Gravy. Definitely a cookery or something.
Yeah, so Big Sam's Tour of Gravy or something like that.
Big Sam's Bring on the Wall, that sounds amazing.
Bring on the Wall of Gravy.
What's Bring on the Wall?
Done with Dale Winton, where they had the...
They got a big wall.
Yeah.
Look, you had to fit into the shape.
Oh, yeah. What about... Yeah, we could get bogged down here.
Yeah.
I think James or Jim's got the point.
Well, and James or Jim.
Ian Holloway. He's got to get his own show.
Somebody counted up on the forum, on the Football Ramble forum, at thefootballramble.com, counted up who won...
Most points.
Who won the most points. I'm surprisingly on 9. I'm not last.
How many have I got?
I think you're in the lead.
Oh, of course I am.
I think we might be level now.
All right.
That was a political point. That was FIFA-esque.
Try before a fall, Luke.
Yeah.
Right, well, we can only go for one place after that. It is to El Clasico. We were around Top Brass's house.
Mm. World football fan is Andy Brassel.
Yeah.
For El Brasico.
El Brasico. For a bit of paella.
Paella.
And
tortillas.
Yeah. It was a marvellous evening was had. Barcelona won 5-0. Destroyed them.
Magical.
It was a rout.
The first goal, I mean, it clearly Xavi didn't mean that, but sort of even their mistakes are just beautiful.
Yeah.
What an absolute hammering. It just seems like it doesn't matter who the opposition at the Nou Camp is, they will just steamroll at them. It's just impossible to live with.
it's the best performance I can remember from a club side since Milan in 94. They beat Barcelona in the Champions League final. Mm. Where Barcelona were a very good team and they got destroyed. Any stat you want, Real Madrid cost hundreds of millions to assemble. They haven't lost a game in the season that year.
They're absolutely flying as well. Yeah. They're battering teams. They're sort of your typical Mourinho team up to now or so far. Because they're winning heavily.
Off the back of a 4-0 win in Amsterdam.
Yeah. Hasn't Guardiola won every single...
five in a row now, yeah.
And he's given them a 6-2 and a 5-0. Yeah. That's not bad. If you just want one thing from your manager, win your derby.
I think his aggregate goals is like 17-2 after
Well, Chris Hughton's on his way. Isn't he? Got them a 5-1.
Well, you know, exactly. Well, that's what I said to Booze and Hushes, Pete.
Well, he's better than
Guardiola. I was saying, Amiobi never scored. At least we had Amiobi scoring.
I reckon Guardiola couldn't get Amiobi to score. So.
He'll never score any points, to be fair. But, worst defeat of Mourinho's managerial career.
Mm. Really?
He's never conceded 5, I don't think.
Right? I don't think a team of his has conceded 5.
No. They just fell apart.
Certainly not lost by
Sergio
5.
Ramos on Messi is just absolutely disgraceful. He's the most sour grapes.
He is 24 years old and he's the most sent off Real Madrid player ever.
Yeah, he just overtakes someone with that record.
Ramos only 24. Yeah. Blimey. Yeah. He'd been around for ages.
But all the newspapers and stuff were saying, Ramos got sent off for the scuffle at the end. He wasn't sent off. No. It's because he hoofed Messi in the side of the leg.
That could have broke his leg. That kind
of awful. Yeah.
It was horrible. Right on the flipping toe.
Yeah, it was awful. It doesn't even warrant the name challenge.
But it was just really, it's really upsetting to see a team in such a big game. Yeah. Like, the biggest game in club football presently. You know, just to see one team sort of like sock.
Yeah, their confidence was gone in the second half. Completely gone. You know.
When Ronaldo pushed Guardiola as well, it was just like, come on.
Guardiola was a bit
naughty. Dignity, boys, dignity.
Guardiola was a bit naughty there, though. He shouldn't have picked the ball up, really.
I can't remember a chance for Real Madrid apart from...
I think in the first half,
I guess, not really.
Well, the penalty, I thought that was a penalty.
I think he kicked it too far away.
I think
he was going away from goal,
wasn't he? Which is probably why the ref hasn't given it.
What was it? What was the score at that point? 2-0 or something?
Yeah, wasn't it? It was definitely early on. But I mean, it's weird because like, people talk about the Messi and Ronaldo thing, and in a way, that's disrespectful to the other players that are on display. I mean, you know, Barcelona have got several brilliant players, and okay, Messi didn't score, but he did sort of run the show.
Yeah.
But we were talking about this on the way up here, and it was Messi, Ronaldo, all that sort of chat. I was saying that for me, like, they're both amazing players. When you're that good, your talent isn't in question because you can effectively do what you want, really. It's all about your decisions, isn't it? It's about decisions. And Messi consistently makes far better decisions than Ronaldo in big games, in my opinion.
Well, no, he does.
I didn't think at any stage that Messi cared whether he scored or not. No, but Ronaldo, what's all Ronaldo wanted to do?
Yeah, but that's the thing. I think that Ronaldo... You get the impression when he plays for teams, he's a little bit more individual. Obviously, Messi has individual moments of brilliance, but Messi is a better team player than Ronaldo.
The thing is, Barcelona is set up in such a system that he has that freedom.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean.
Yeah,
so they've all got the freedom to express themselves because of that system. Because it's a system based around creating space. And once you get that space, you can do what you like. As they showed over and over again.
Very much so. Guardiola kind of summed it up quite nicely when he said he was proud that the whole world has seen how Barcelona play football. I think we've seen that a few times, but certainly
Is it fair to say that Barcelona love slipping a ball inside the fullback?
That's wonderful.
Was it Messi's ball for the third?
Fourth.
It just destroyed the whole defence.
But that's almost as soon as that pass is made, you think, what's in?
There was a couple of times when the defender just caught it at the last moment. They could have had about 9.
They had so many chances.
As well, didn't he,
Match-winning passes, those. Yeah. But I'm an absolute bugger for a slip.
It's a great ball. That ball inside the fullback, they do over and over again, you know, looking for a wide player. But the other thing about Messi is that he's a top scorer in the Champions League last two seasons. And he's got a reasonable chance, I would say, of doing it again. I'm not sure if that's been done before. Three seasons in a row, top scorer in the European Cup. He's got 6-5, I think, already this season. In the Champions League, the mental fact that Sid Lowe touted in his piece, I think it was today or yesterday, was that I think I'm right in saying I read this right. Lionel Messi has got 70 goals in his last 71 Barcelona games.
It's not quite 1-1, but
is that it? Last night was the first game he hadn't scored in 10 games.
And he's a man who doesn't mind not scoring.
No, he doesn't even care if he scores or not.
No.
That's the thing. But it comes back to that decisions thing again. The few times that Real Madrid did have the ball approaching the Barcelona last third, he would just shoot.
Ronaldo, it's such a shame to see.
But big players like Ozil, like Benzema, Alonso, Benzema, were completely anonymous. Yeah. I can't remember a time passengers. He did anything. You know,
I forgot Benzema was playing.
So one-sided. But by the way, there are only 2 points ahead of Real Madrid in the league now.
I haven't written them off, Luke.
I'm Luke. Yeah,
yep. I remember you. unbelievable. So let's move on.
Well done to them
and to me. Let's move on to the best league in the world, the Premier League. Without a doubt. And
certainly the most exciting.
Manchester United scored 7 goals on the weekend against Blackburn. And Berbatov scored 5, Luke. And what do we call 5 goals now?
A Jackson.
Is it a Jackson?
Jackson 5.
I thought it was a glut.
What do you prefer? What do you boys think?
I prefer a glut.
Did we read this after the Barcelona match? It was like a little hand or something, they called it. Like, because they scored 5, but it was a little hand.
Well, we were calling it a poker, because I thought that was Italian for 5, but a poker apparently means 4 or more goals.
Right.
So we stopped that. 4 is a haul. Is that what they call it in Spain, a little hand?
I think that was in Sid Lowe's piece, I think.
That makes sense.
A goal war chest.
We can make our own.
Glut.
I think glut's good, yeah.
It's not going to come up very often. So let's not worry too much
Berbatov
about it.
Got a glut.
He got a glut of goals.
Manchester United top of the league, James. Mm.
Do you think that's Berbatov's goals for the season?
I hope so. I don't know why I hope that.
Why?
I don't hope that. I retract that statement.
Because it's been a while since he scored, hasn't it?
Yeah,
a lot of angry people had taken him out of their fantasy teams. He'd pushed them too far.
The fools. And then,
the fools. Yeah. 6 shots, 5 goals for Berber.
Not bad. Mm. Allardyce is in charge of Blackburn, and they... rolled over again, Pete.
Yeah, it's...
What would you like to allege?
It's a pattern. It's a pattern, Marcus.
I would...
A gravy-soaked pattern.
I wouldn't have been surprised if the camera went to the touchline during that game.
And a high five.
They looked at the sort of technical areas. And like, where are the managers? And they like sort of panned down, and like Alex is there having his belly rubbed by Alex. Yeah.
Tossing him a Yorkshire.
I'd like to say, Alex, you're not going to get the job at Manchester United doing that. You may think you're doing the right thing, but you're not.
You gave us such a great result. Yeah. You've given us some great time, Sam, yeah, and you've not even got the job yet.
He knows how to make Manchester United win, one might allege.
It's a gravy soaked pattern.
Speaking of which, in Private Eye this week, I was reading that I think it's Dubai Airways or something, have got the Manchester United team in their advert. Kicking a football, like the Brazil advert where they kick the football around it. Yeah. But they're doing it on a plane. And
dangerous.
And Bobby Charlton's on the plane.
Like Cantona is in that Brazil.
Yeah, but he's an ambassador for United, isn't he?
Yeah, but he's sitting... Right.
Is he a pilot?
Bearing in mind Manchester United's history with planes...
Oh, and, right, I get it.
And he's one of the survivors of that plane crash.
Yeah.
That's a bit weird, I think.
Yeah,
Unless it's sort of like when Sol Campbell went back to Arsenal. And it's just an exhibition match out in Dubai or whatever, so they've just got him back.
No, it's an advert
for
an airline, and they're kicking and the advert is they're kicking a football, like dangerously kicking a football around
an actual plane.
And Bobby and he's on the plane.
But it's odd that they're using them in that advert anyway. It's a bit like the Qatar World Cup bid. Mm. It's all centred around Zinedine Zidane.
Yeah, but the Qatar World Cup bid doesn't need adverts. It's just one of those things, isn't it? It's just not a
who are you advertising
to? It's a very select group of people that can vote for it, as we've said before. It's
an excellent point, James. That should have
been like that UEFA advert. It's just an advert for UEFA.
For fair play.
UEFA. And respect.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
There was an older one that was just for UEFA. It wasn't even a particular thing. Why are you wasting this money?
Well, basically what it is, James, is in case you're thinking about consuming football from another European body, UEFA's the best one.
Yeah. Yeah,
so stick with that.
Don't even think.
Yeah.
It's for North Cyprus, basically, and any other countries that aren't in the UEFA.
Rogue
thing.
Nations.
Gibraltar.
Yeah, it's for Gibraltar.
Yeah.
Leave them be.
Think of that one.
Just staying briefly with Manchester United, Wayne Rooney apologised to the fans for his part in it.
Mm. Well, his part in what? Being a horrible shit.
In listening to his agent, I don't know. Yeah. But he scored against Rangers, confident penalty. Yeah. Certainly enjoyed it.
Way over the top, his celebration, though.
That guy jumped on him, didn't he? That was quite funny.
Oh, yeah.
There was a very mixed reaction when he did finally come back, wasn't there? I think it's going to take him a while to win over some of the sort of diehard Man United fans, which is not surprising, really.
It was a nice little curved run he did.
Yeah, I thought
that sort of deceived the goalkeeper thing.
Do you think that he's had a break and he seems to have come back? Do you think actually a lot of these young players who are top of the pops? Mm. Do you think they might need a break? I mean, you think of the football they play. I know
he's
Messi
lost a lot of weight.
Has he?
On his face, I think. He looks a lot thinner than he was. I know that everyone says he has lost weight, but he looks a lot lighter.
But these young players like Rooney and Ronaldo and Messi, the usual suspects.
I think everybody does. If you look at the World Cup, obviously we don't have a winter break in England. If you look at the World Cup, it wasn't just the England players that weren't performing. It was tough to name a Premier League player that performed well. Yeah. That can't be coincidence.
I mean, if you look at it, I mean, when was the last time?
Pansil was all right.
When was the last time Rooney's had a proper break from football? It'll be a very long time ago.
And he just had one now. Yeah.
All this stuff's going on with his personal life, and a lot of it is his own fault, obviously. But it's still going to. But Alex Ferguson doesn't care about that. Alex Ferguson cares about getting the best out of it.
It doesn't make it any less stressful, really.
No, of course not. No, absolutely. No, but I think Wayne Rooney's a bit annoyed that Berbatov stole his sort of thunder on his home return.
Well, it wasn't quite. He came on the other week, didn't he? But yeah, I suppose he started. I understand what you're saying. Pete was at Craven Cottage for the Fulham home draw with Birmingham City.
I was, yeah. It was
cold,
it was a dull little encounter. It was very cold until I managed to tip Bovril into my crotch, and then it got
very hot.
And then it got very hot very quickly, and then freezing cold. I've never been so cold at a football match.
I was about to say that.
I had football socks on. I had layer upon layer upon layer, and it was just.
Was the Bovril thing a tactical move on your part?
No, my hands were too cold. I couldn't grip it properly.
Oh God!
You got the wind coming off the Thames, haven't you?
Yeah.
Pete's not a man who likes to overstate the case. He goes to me, "It's the coldest I've ever been. It's the coldest I've ever been."
I was absolutely freezing. The best bit was these. It's posh middle, because I mean Fulham's quite a middle class club, so to speak, and there was this a dad and two of his little sons can't have been older than about 9 or 10.
You've
and
they were seen children at football matches.
Well, you know, kids, I mean, they like the idea of football matches, but live football, they like Rooney and they like Lampard and stuff. But I think sometimes if you're younger than 10 and you're at a football match, you're not that interested. You're just not. And they were creating and just being silly. And they had the little the Fulham clapper.
He's got the
Fulham
clapper.
He's got a picture of
Dempsey on it. All the seats have them.
Yeah, so I mean, they were just dicking around basically, and the dad brilliantly went. You could see like the love he had for his kids just ebbing away because this beautiful little corner of his life that he still enjoys is just, and they're just creating, and they're not interested. And anyway, he goes, right, well, you're not coming next week. So, and the little kid goes, well, fine, I don't care, father. I don't care, father. Actually says father, right? And then the dad goes, well, if you don't come, you'll have to stay in your room because it's mum's relaxation day. And I was thinking, my mum's never had a relaxation. She's had a crying day before. Yeah. She just cries from morning to night.
Yeah. Not a conversation here at Newcastle.
No. But my relaxation day? What are you doing? I've been up.
I'll regale you some tales. I've heard what people have said at Portsmouth, but it might not be acceptable for that.
But one thing you must say is you did see the much touted by me John Pansil lap of honour.
I mean,
did I lie? Is it one of the most incredible things in football?
It was a drab 1-1. It was a proper drab 1-1, pretty much. Dempsey was annoyed with fury coursing through his American veins, but like he and everyone was pretty frustrated. But as soon as he started running round and the announcer went,
"This is
ladies and gentlemen, John Pansil."
No, they did it.
And he was just got like with his arms out.
Yeah, arms right out, and he pegs it. Yeah, absolutely.
But like, and everyone just starts applauding. It's like the ultimate PR. Sort of like you forget about the match and you just remember what John Pansil did.
That's why they've got him on the books. Great.
Does he do it on losses? Does he do it when they lose?
I don't think I've been there since when.
Wonderful. It really cheered me up at the end.
It
warmed my cockles. It did.
One of my favourite things in football, that the John Pansil.
What they should do to stop fans leaving the game early is they should make sure they nominate a player every week to do that.
No, keep it Pansil. You don't need it.
What, at every club?
Oh, I see what you mean.
Logistically tough.
But if there was a player who could do it,
yeah.
I hate to get up at Chris Kamara. I don't think he started the match. He came on halfway through, and everyone was loving it. You know, it was incredible.
I've seen Pansil do the lap of honour when he didn't even get on the pitch. he was sub, yeah.
Yeah, I like to think he sub him on in like the 89th minute just to get him to do that.
No, it's like. It's at the end of the game, James. Not during the game. He starts running around.
Yeah, I'm fully aware.
He doesn't need to be.
They absolutely love him. It's wonderful.
I quite like the idea of him doing it when he hasn't come on because he's.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm all kitted up. I might as well have a run.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Starting in the crowd, you know, in the crowd, just sort of inching his way around. Everyone going, "Oh, I know what's coming." Yeah.
There you go. It's just that it's wonderful.
I think Aboué could do a similar role.
Aboué man. I don't think Arsenal would they appreciate that, James? You reckon?
I would.
I'd like to see a Bowie man fired out of Gunnosaurus's cannon
in his tiger suit.
It's an image which will leave you in a brief moment, ladies and gentlemen. Now Bolton drew 2-2. Their second goal was a beautiful move. Mm-hmm. Barcelona tried to copy it several times.
Against worse opposition.
Yeah, that's right. Paul Merson on Soccer Saturday, during the goal, I love Merson, he was like, "Oh, that is the best move I've ever seen."
He's
been drunk for 20 years. He can't remember the rest of them.
I was going
to
say.
You've always got to go to James for Paul Merson. He's your Paul Merson expert.
Well, I mean, Paul Merson has said a lot of things. Yeah.
He loves it. I just thought to myself, Paul, go and watch a replay of the 1970 World Cup final. That'll blow your mind.
This is the best sandwich I've ever eaten.
He's like you, but opposite.
Do you reckon he goes through life like that? This is the best traffic light I've ever sat at.
Apparently, Paul Merson, Perry Grove says in his book, like he just doesn't know what any words mean.
Yeah,
right? And if someone corrects him, we'll just go, it's the same thing. It's, like, it's not. Paul, it's how you communicate. You need to understand
what
words
pounds.
Are.
No, it's six.
That's the same thing.
No, it isn't. Yeah.
When I started off, I did a bit of work at Talksport a long time ago.
Fluffing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh my giddy.
I still go back there sometimes.
Blowing Brazil.
Alan Brazil had this. Used to get sent stuff.
Horrible infection.
For those who don't know, Alan Brazil is the presenter of the Breakfast Show on Talksport.
Is he really? I mean, he's there. His carcass is there. His talking carcass is there.
It's like he's holding the station hostage every morning.
You'd be surprised how true that is. Anyway, he used to get sent stuff all the time because he's a presenter of the Breakfast Show, right? And he gets Perry Grove's autobiography sent through. He gives it to me and goes, "Yeah, do you want that?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, right, yeah, cheers." He goes, "Do you want me to sign it for you?"
Do I want you to sign someone else's book for me?
Maybe you thought he was Perry Groves.
But I said no. I was like, no, not really.
Just bring it in.
I didn't think about it.
You should have said yes. That would be more funny. Yeah.
I have actually got, speaking of signed books, I've actually got a goalkeeping guide signed by Neville Southall, signed and everything.
Oh, yeah.
It's called In Search of Perfection.
Oh. Mm. Well, Ronnie signed it. I think we're still talking about football. I've got to mention another great win, away win for West Brom at Everton.
Chris Brunt.
Yeah.
Banana shaped free kick trajectory. Yeah. Brilliant.
Wonderful.
He can hit him, old Brunty.
Absolutely wonderful. Before we move on from all things Premier League, Carlos Tevez is threatening to quit football again.
He's doing this every couple of weeks.
I'm bored of it now. It's crying wolf.
Well, he's kind of, he's branched out slightly. He's started criticising young players in the game and some of his fellow teammates. He said, if you ask me, I would love to have my old life back in my neighbourhood in Buenos Aires.
So what, the ones
just
you got,
do it.
The ones you've got to caveat.
We'll happily take your wages, Carlos.
In fairness, though, to add a bit of balance to this, you've got a caveat by saying he's had a child recently who's very ill and he keeps to go back to visit his child.
All right, fair enough.
And Man City are digging their heels about him going back all the time, and he wants to spend time with his. I know his wife and his child could move here.
That's fair enough.
But it's tough for them, and I think he's getting very frustrated.
That's fair enough.
That's a very stressful thing, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
That's understandable. But he's moaning about this too much money and sort of bad guys in the game, which is fair enough, although he was involved with that agent who took him to West Ham and owns 140k a week, 45 grand a week.
He's a literal Carlos Kickerball. He's very talented but very upset about things.
I love it how he said today the young players have no education at all and I don't want to listen to them. When I played at Boca, when Martin Palermo or Juan Roman Riquelme talked, I listened. It's probably where you went wrong, Bill. And he said, this is the quote that really got me. He said, so I don't want a young player to ask me, why did you do that in the changing room? I would punch them, as I've won 13 titles in my career.
But that's a young player giving you an opportunity to sort of share
help
some
him.
Wisdom.
Tevez
is only 26 as well. His teammates must be slightly irked by that, surely.
Hang on. Balotelli's arrived.
Fair enough.
Not very long, Carlos Tevez is talking about punching young teammates.
The thing is,
that's aimed at him.
So imagine the dressing room.
Adebayor,
Balotelli. Tevez, and Balotelli. What does Mancini say?
That's why Bellamy was loaned out. It's like, this just isn't going to work.
Yeah, it's one in, one out now, isn't it?
No, I actually think it's actually like proven that if Bellamy goes in there as well, they'll create a vortex.
Yeah.
Like an actual black hole.
It would definitely be like, like Japanese fighting fish. Yeah. You can't have more than one in the same tank. I think that would be quite similar.
Just balls on parade, aren't they?
Yeah. In the Championship last night, Leicester beat Nottingham Forest 1-0.
In the big one?
In the bigger one.
Yeah. The Trent Saw Derby.
King scored. Nice little jinky run from Vassell. I forgot Vassell's back.
Vassell very nearly scored a goal.
It was right off the line, wasn't it?
Vassell's so back with Sven.
It's nice. He
all's right.
Vassell, didn't he?
All's okay.
It could be some sort of game show there, actually. Going back to the sort of TV show thing, where they have managers who've got favoured players and they can compete against each other. So you could have
Redknapp and Defoe.
We'd have Sven and Darius Vassell.
Or Redknapp and Crouch, mate.
Redknapp and Crouch. Yeah. You could have Alex McLeish and Barry Ferguson, and you could have Jim Smith and Dion Burton.
Ferguson and Paul Scholes. I know they've not moved.
Well,
but
it doesn't really count, does it?
It does.
Paul Scholes, Alex Ferguson wouldn't want to see his surrogate son be in trouble.
No, of course he wouldn't. Although I reckon Sven would have the chat show, and you know, like on David Letterman, how he has the guy who does
affairs.
he has the guy who plays the piano and has the band.
Yeah,
that'd
be
Vassell. Do you think? Maybe not.
Jim had a great idea for a TV show called Dragon Sven. Dragon Sven.
Just Ericsson.
It ended with Jim going, my friend's got a dinosaur costume. we can reappropriate that somehow.
Yeah.
Which I quite liked.
Yeah. I'm going to have to stop you there because QPR beat Cardiff 2-1 in the big one. Mm. Top of the league clash. QPR just need one more match, one more unbeaten match, and they have the club's all time record of 20 games.
Top six in that league, it's just mental. And everything's going off.
Tarat was too good once again. Lovely goal. He's scoring at will.
And Scott Sinclair couldn't prevent Swans losing at home to Portsmouth.
Oh yeah,
the most unlikely win of that league season so far. Portsmouth winning away at Swansea.
Yeah. That is odd.
Swansea are decent, good.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
And Portsmouth are shit.
Yeah, they really are.
Well, you're slagging your team, mate.
But a friend of the show, Tim Morgan, who's a big Swansea fan, said that
owner of the wand.
He said they were much better, Swansea, but at Portsmouth, he said it was like a year 6 team bullying a year 3 team.
Oh, yeah. Nobody. Nobody likes to see that.
Well,
sore loser.
Let's move on to Serie A. Samueletto. Last week we talked about him doing a Zidane headbutt. In their game against Kevin.
Did we applaud it? I think we said we liked it.
We were very violence friendly, heavy, weren't we, last week?
No, it's because Samueletto is a great player, though. And a great man. And he's proved that again.
So he should be allowed to headbutt whoever he wants. That's the moral.
He's proved it again.
Yeah.
Because, he's been given a 3-match ban. That's not why he's a great man. But he's apologised, and he's apologised to everybody. He said, "My apologies go to out to all the protagonists of the game, to the referees who could have not have seen this foul because it was out of their visual range." Very specific there. but also to the Inter fans and to all those who love football. Basically, everybody.
Yeah.
He's apologised. The man he nutted.
Yeah. It's a far-reaching apology. It's dissimilar to a Cassano apology.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Which he doesn't exist because he'll never apologise because that's weakness.
Inter down in fifth. Seven points off Milan, who
are top.
Do you not think the three matches for Eto'o is a bit light?
For a big headbutt, yeah.
Well, for a big headbutt, because you say, like, a red card, you get 3 matches.
But it's violent conduct, so it's a 3-match ban.
Yeah, it is 3 matches. Yeah. It is 3 matches.
But, I mean, Inter have had a few injuries, I think.
I did think to myself... When Real Madrid failed again quite significantly at Barcelona, I thought they've tried to get Mourinho to really piss off the bar. Are they going to go for Zlatan at some point? Because it would really be like
That's the last thing they need.
Imagine? No, but they're just doing it to piss them off. Like, how much would Barcelona be?
Not so, to be honest, I don't think they would.
They just beat them 5-0.
Yeah,
I couldn't care less.
He's got a cracker last week, didn't he, in the Champions League?
Against Auxerre.
He's doing well in the Champions League this season, which is nice to see because he's got that sort of European bottler tag.
Well, he's doing really well this latter. They're having a good time. Now, I have to say, we're going to briefly talk about the French league because
Ligue 1.
Yes. First place in the French league and 12th position in the French league, separated by 5 points.
God, you love a bit of that, don't you?
Yeah,
you
do. I can't get enough of it.
You get all giddy at the thought of it.
Yeah, it's my you know, tight leagues are your big scores.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, which I think is fair enough.
Yeah.
Would you say? But there was
a tight league full of big scores. Whoa.
I can't.
I mean, you got the Premier League. you're living in it.
That's right.
Living the dream.
Paris, Marseille are top with Lille, and Paris Saint-Germain and Montpellier are joint second. But before the weekend, Montpellier were top. But many were saying, oh, this is just because it's a bit of a weak league. And they were kind of poo-pooing it a bit. Whereas one of the big men at Montpellier, he responded to these critics by saying, "I piss in their arse cracks."
Oh, my God.
Hard to do.
And then he said,
You've got to hold him down for that.
he then commented on his answer by saying, "That's a good answer, don't you think?"
Pleased with his work.
To be honest, I agree with him.
Yeah.
He said, "It doesn't always have to be Lyon or Marseille."
No.
So, watch yourself if you're a French critic.
What's that guy's name?
Bums against the walls, eh, James? I forget his name. No, it's gone. But he's involved at Montpellier.
Jacques Lurin.
That's him. That's him. Right. There's been a lot of talk this week. And there will be more talk about who's going to win the World Cup bid.
I'm bored of it already.
Oh, yeah.
Just
give it to us.
Would you want England to win?
I don't actually care.
Did you not?
I'm not as bothered as the media seems to be.
As David Cameron.
Well, I do care. I do care on one level. But I think that with all this sort of hoo-ha around the panorama thing, I do think it's more important to have a transparent, operational, fit-for-purpose organisation running rather than having the World Cup in England. If I had to choose between a decent body of FIFA and England having the World Cup, I would choose the first one. But the thing is,
we're very likely to get neither.
I was going to say.
Well, of course. That's the point.
People listening to this, it might have already been announced. So at the time of recording, of course, we don't know.
But the thing is, the only thing you've got to caveat it with is by saying it's important to young kids and stuff like that. I mean, if you're 8 or 9 years old when you get the World Cup in your country, it's probably a great thing. It's
amazing. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Euro 96, we were very young, and it was wonderful. It would be incredible to have it in this country. But the thing is, England can always put a good bid in. You know, we've got the stadiums already. We've got all the infrastructure we need.
Mm. Well, according to... I think there was a confidential report seen by Reuters, the news people, they said that England and the US were given an unbeatable overall 100% rating by the management consultants who are commissioned by FIFA in all 5 key areas: sponsorship, ticketing, hospitality, licensing and media rights. So, and they were basically saying England and the US as one would perhaps
suggest,
expect,
yeah.
Are totally fine. It's so safe.
Everything else is
could be done tomorrow. Right. Could be done tomorrow.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. That's what.
But I think the fact of the matter is, Panorama, the fact that Andrew Jennings is a constant.
But I don't know if it's anything to do with that.
I think that if FIFA came here, a lot of journalists in this country go, right, let's try and get in amongst them. And I think FIFA know that. And I think if FIFA go to, say, for example, Russia, that's not really going to happen.
But you don't get the bid, they're just going to do it anyway, presumably, because it's going to be seen as bitterness. But still, they'll still you don't even have to do a Panorama special. You could do a whole series. You could do a 25-episode run. And they didn't have to do it. They didn't have to do it a week before. They didn't have to do it a week before the bid. But they could have done it this time last year. But you know what I mean?
I don't accept the timing of news. I mean, that's a bit weird because it's supposed to be when it's the most newsworthy. So
yeah,
I guess that's what it should be. I think that's responsible reporting, in my opinion. I don't think it's irresponsible. I don't think you should pander to people.
No, I don't think it is either.
But one of the things that really annoys me is we were lucky enough to go to the World Cup in the summer. Now, they talk a lot about...
I enjoyed that.
It was great.
It annoyed you.
Yeah. No. What I'm going to go on to say is that they talk about sort of transport links or sort of stuff. It's just massive lip service because four of us around this table all know that we couldn't get within a mile of the World Cup final stadium, Soccer City.
Yeah.
But to park a mile away, walk down a dirt track for them to say anything about the transport links in the UK is absolutely scandalous. It's nothing to do with that. It's to do with whoever's going to roll over and have their belly tickled, whoever's going to make them the most money, whoever adheres to their tax demands. All that sort of stuff is by far the most important. And to that end, the investigation by FIFA, by Andrew Jennings, who I think is, you know, a little bit odd at times, but a good investigative reporter, is absolutely right, and I applaud it, because in the long term it'll be a good thing to do. It's important they're held to account. Not enough, so I'm off to Diego Corner.
Oh, thank goodness for that. Get a little bit of a rest.
Yeah, no corruption there.
That'll be safe.
Who are you about to find out, James?
Go on then, old
sport. There's no corruption. This week's Diego Corner is sponsored by our lovely listeners. It takes the form of two emails.
All right.
And I shall read them one after the other.
Fire away.
Ramble Force Hall.
Ooh.
We're in Diego Corner, but you still got to do the hoe.
Yep.
This is from Charlie Skillen. My cousin works in a hairdressing salon in Swindon Town Centre.
Show off.
Lots of people do, James. There was no one in the salon at the time, this particular morning, when a big black car pulled up outside and two big security guards walked out into the salon, took a look around and ushered in a little fat bloke.
Mysterious.
My cousin proceeded to trim his beard as instructed. Wow. He thanked her, paid her £10 for a £4 trim, told her to keep the change, and she didn't have a clue who he was. She was suitably impressed and called up our mother to tell her. Later on that evening, everyone was at home, the family were at home, picture the scene, watching a bit of Sky Sports. The inevitable crowd shot of Diego at the football came up. My cousin walked in and exclaimed, "That's the bloke whose beard I trimmed."
Oh no!
Wow.
The astonishment on her fiancé's face, as well as the rest of her football-loving family when told, was considerable. We still haven't worked out why Diego thought it necessary to make Swindon his first town on the list of visits to England, but thought you would appreciate the story.
It's because he's doing a tour of football, isn't
that
he? He probably
went
for lunch at Swindon Town.
I imagine that he just came in, grabbed a big handful of hair that was on the floor, ate it, drank the barberside, and then left.
Yeah.
That's what I imagine.
I know what you lot are thinking. One story about Diego Maradona is enough. It's not.
No, I don't think that at all.
This is from Kevin from Ireland. He says...
Nearly.
Last Monday, I was in the O2 watching the tennis.
Oh, yeah.
Luckily...
It's been going on.
Another bust.
Speaking of show-offs, this is what he says next. He's worse than Diego, in my opinion.
Oh, go on.
Luckily, I have relations and contacts at the O2.
Oh.
And I managed to bag some corporate tickets.
Ruining tennis, people.
Get to the point, Kevin.
Ruining tennis.
Before the singles match was due to begin, I was being filled with free alcohol from the suite and I decided to wander to the bathroom.
Filled? Just plug it into his side.
Yeah. Halfway through my time at the urinal, who should show up but El Diego himself.
Oh,
wow.
Did he see the acorn-like penis?
He relieved himself two urinals to his right. It was without a doubt one of
two urinals to his right.
Yeah.
So it took a big arc.
Yeah. And as Pete says, it was definitely a wee. Kevin goes on to say it was without a doubt one of the most exciting and awkward moments of his life. He says, I managed to pluck up enough courage at the sinks to ask him what he was doing in London, which he then replied he was here on holiday with his new girlfriend and he went to see Tevez the day before.
Does he speak English?
As we exited the bathroom, I tried to ask him for a picture, but he was engulfed by his entourage. Shame, but I'll always have that brief minute where I shared a bathroom with the great El Diego.
Wonderful.
From Kevin. I don't know if either of those are true, and I don't care.
No.
That's nice.
You've got to talk to him, haven't you? You've got to say something just to have that experience. Well done, Kevin.
Does he speak English, though? That's the thing.
He must
speak a bit of it.
Do you smell a rat, Liam Marcus? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. Did he have a rat on him?
I just think it's nice to see a wealthy, bloated body make people happy for once.
Yeah, I agree.
Speaking of which, my friend of mine was at the tennis as well, and he said on the big screen the cameras were putting like the famous people in the crowd on the big screen.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And who got the biggest cheer? Wasn't El Diego?
No.
Wasn't Kevin Spacey?
Member of the royal family.
It wasn't a member of the royal family. It was London's own mayor, Boris Johnson.
Was it?
Oh dear.
Loads of men making people happy, Pete.
I thought you were going to say some guy out of the Only Way is Essex or something.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say Jim Cowell from the Football Roundball.
Are you coming back?
I'm on my way back now, yeah.
Okay, good man. Luke will probably be back just in time for the email section.
Here he comes down the flue.
Emails.
It's just the one email today, though, isn't it, James?
I'm going to read it.
You've decided.
Hello there, kind sir, and other ramblers. Don't know who this came to originally.
Me.
You. In your last show, you briefly discussed some unusual modes of transport that football teams had undertaken.
This was, of course, in reference to the Jack Greenwell profile in the last show.
Yes, indeed.
How on earth do they get around the world in the
hot air balloons, I would think.
Yeah.
In my head, it's always hot air balloons.
Yes. Sorry, James.
Yes. This reminded me of the Italy team that went to the 1950 World Cup in Brazil. Following the Supergar air disaster, I think that's how you say that, which wiped out the entire Torino side who had dominated Italian football in the 1940s. Obviously very tragic that. The authorities were rather paranoid about sending the defending world champions to the tournament by air. To remedy this, they spent 3 months embarking on a naval voyage. Training facilities on the ships weren't up to the required standard.
Ooh,
when the fattened players arrived, they were duly eliminated in the first round. Following the embarrassment, the Italian Federation decided they didn't care for the players' safety anymore and told the sodding players to get a plane home. A dear listener called Rocco Campbell Missola.
Yeah, Rocco, I recognise him from
Twitter.
Pretty good.
Top
wow. Yeah, he's a good lad.
P.S. No need, Rocco. Yeah. a quote from the wondrous Antonio Cassano you may take inspiration from. Don't be impulsive. Behave as I would. Before you explode with anger, count up to at least one.
Nice. Great stuff.
That's a superb quote.
Great email. Nice little story, that, as well.
Sweet. They had a 3 month cruise before the World Cup. That's not preparation.
Cassano would bloody love that.
Yeah.
Wouldn't he?
Yeah. Maybe they should do that nowadays.
How long out of those 3 months, if it was Cassano, would it have taken him to have sex with every girl on the ship?
It would sink. He'd be so fat by the time they got there.
He'd do an afternoon while riding a dolphin, I reckon.
Yeah, he would.
An afternoon.
Yeah, so he's,
3 months.
All done. Yeah, it's all done.
Didn't need 3 months. Good people, it's profile time.
Indeed.
Now, I was going through the Dean Windass Hall of Fame archive the other day, and I suddenly thought to myself, unless I've seriously misplaced my eyes at some point, the only...
don't know what that even means.
Yeah. It's like you're looking for a phrase, but give it's not actually
back.
A phrase. Yeah, it's
that's a Diego phrase.
You've let a tortoise get away from you there.
Yeah. Anyway, I noticed, unless I blacked out at some point, that apart from when we inducted the Athletic Bilbao team, although that was more the club, really, there's no Spanish players.
Scandalous in the modern climate.
El Scandalino.
Would the Bilbao players even consider themselves Spanish?
There's
an irony there somewhere, James.
It's quite apparent.
Yes. I was talking to Jamie Redknapp.
But to be honest with you, if you look back through the history of
the history
of the histories of football,
the history of the histories of football.
Yeah,
we've got Di Stefano in there.
No, he's Argentinian.
Yeah, he played for Spain.
Yeah, but you know,
there's not actually too many because they're obviously, you know, with regards to being top of the tree,
it's a very recent thing, isn't it? This dominance. Mm.
But this is going to change. We've got a Spaniard coming in.
Mm.
It's Gaizka Mendieta.
Oh. Good choice. A scorer of great goals. Yes. Not a great scorer of goals, Marcus,
midfield.
But a scorer of great goals. You know that idea?
Sod off.
Not at the start.
Not at the start. A former Valencia midfielder. He played for other clubs. We'll talk about them. Mm-hmm. But Valencia was his
Didn't he go to Lazio on a free transfer?
Was once the most expensive player in the world.
Yeah.
You don't really hear about him then.
No. He was just
Middlesbrough will do that to your career.
It was such a real flair player, wasn't he? Yeah. Mendieta, just
he was. We'll come to that.
He was talismanic in that Valencia as well.
Yeah,
he's the absolute beating heart.
Was he ever?
Special team.
Funnily enough, though, we mentioned Athletic Bilbao only moments earlier. He was born in Bilbao.
Oh, okay. When was he born?
He was born on the 27th of March, 1974.
Oh, just short of 7 years after the Summer of Love.
Yeah. Glad you reminded me of that.
Some of that love was left over.
Yeah, I think it was.
And he came out of that.
Yeah.
Good.
He left a long love legacy, which Mendieta's parents took advantage of, James.
Yes.
That's my R&B album.
The Pete Donaldson story.
He started his career with Castellón, and he was only there for one season as Valencia snapped him up, James. In the early 90s.
Mm. Like a big football dinosaur.
Yeah. And I suppose his first big season really there was in the 95-96 season, where he played the majority of the games and helped them finish runners-up.
Mm.
Right up there they were. You see, kids, it wasn't always Barcelona and Real Madrid in the top two.
Wow, sort of. Yeah. Occasionally it wasn't.
Yeah. And they won the Copa del Rey. He won the Copa del Rey with Valencia in 98-99. And I think it was a semi-final match
when he scored that volley.
When he scored a volley,
which will be on Rambletube for time to come.
Yeah,
for certain.
Have you seen a ball hit better than that in any field, any sporting event ever?
Well, I made a shout last night.
Yes or no?
Well, I made a shout last night when we were watching Ronald Koeman summarise the for El Clasico,
yeah.
And I said to you, "Look, there's never been a man who can kick the ball harder than Ronald Koeman since time began."
Mm.
I still think that's true. But it's enough to put a little bit of a seed of doubt in my mind when I see that volley. Because as you rightly said, Marcus, when he hits it, and like you said, it's a semi-final Copa del Rey, corner comes over, he volleys it first time, about 20 yards out. By the time it's hit the net, the two defenders on the line are still looking forward.
Yeah.
They're still in the air.
They didn't have time to get out of the way. And they came from 20 yards away.
But the curl on it is absolutely perfect.
It's from a corner.
The angle from behind the goal. It's
postage stamp. It's amazing.
So much purchase.
ever so much purchase.
It's almost scientific purchase. But it's like how they test sort of bullets.
Yeah. I think it gave people the first idea for the Large Hadron Collider.
Yeah.
But it's one of those moments where if he just walked off the pitch and just shrugged his shoulders and took it, like started acting or something, fair enough.
Yeah.
He's achieved anything. He can't be.
He's not going to get better than that. Certainly not in Middlesbrough.
Shut up, would you?
You're
ruining it.
Sorry.
You're letting the cat out of the bag. they won the Copa del Rey in 98-99, and he got a call up for the Spanish national side in 99. But the next few years were to be quite something for Mendieta and Valencia. They finished 98-99 season third, only on goal difference to Barcelona. Deportivo, I think, won the league that season.
Mm.
You see, and they qualified for the Champions League, James.
Yes.
Which is the premier European competition.
The champions. Is that what that was?
League.
Vital. But now, this was the side that Canizares was in goal.
Mm-hmm.
The man who put himself out of the 98 World Cup.
Aftershave bottle dropped on his foot, wasn't it?
Yeah. Put himself out.
Unfortunate.
But he was still a good keeper, though. Maurizio Pellegrino,
of course,
in defence.
Just on Canizares doing that. You know, everyone takes a mick at me for doing that.
Yeah.
It's sort of fair enough. Put yourself in his shoes. Imagine how gutted you'd be.
Yeah.
His shoes would be old split.
It was just before the World Cup.
A nice smelling foot would be scant consolation.
But consolation, nevertheless. Keely Gonzalez was in midfield with Mendieta. Angulo and Claudio Lopez up front.
Yeah. Claudio Lopez, was he that year? I thought he was a bit after that.
He was that year, and then I think he left for Inter,
maybe. Right, okay.
So they started that Champions League campaign. PSV, Rangers and Bayern Munich, they topped that undefeated.
Yeah.
Not a problem, James.
Yeah.
Not a problem. Next, they had that was when there was two group stages and Manchester United were in there, and they went through there. They played Lazio.
Forget about that.
Yeah.
That was insane.
That was silly, I think. I didn't agree with that. I think that was a bit silly having two groups.
Mm.
It was just stupid.
They played Lazio in the quarterfinals, won 5-3 on aggregate.
And that's then, a European tie.
Yeah,
that is.
Yeah. And then they played Barcelona in the semi-final. They won the first leg 4-1.
Yeah.
Hammered them. And then the
Mestalla is an absolute fortress.
Yeah. Yeah. And then in the second leg, I remember it was 0-0, and then I think it was about the 70th minute, when the ball came to Mendieta. Did he control it? And then just thundered it in from the edge of the box. And it was like, yep, yeah, final, pace, thank you. And it's at the Nou Camp. Yeah, you know, yeah. It's incredible to think of that happening now. And they went through to the final. It's so unfortunate they played Real Madrid in the final. This is when Stephen McManaman got man of the match.
Spanish domination that year.
But that was, yeah, that was...
But they knew Real Madrid were a better side than
I think that was more psychological.
Yeah.
McManaman was superb in that game as well. Yeah. It's worth remembering.
Scored as well.
Yeah. El Maka.
I was looking at a picture of Steve McManaman in the week. Alan Shearer was celebrating a goal, and Steve McManaman was behind him. The difference in size of McManaman's legs.
Yeah, he's really skinny.
His thighs were tiny, really thin.
They're like twiglets.
And back to the profile.
Yeah. But Shearer's legs would be above average bulk, though.
Yeah.
So it would have made him look skinnier.
But it looked like he had knobbly knees or something. It looked like Dennis the Menace legs.
Yeah.
They weren't well toned and slender like.
And that's why McMahon was not in there.
Exactly.
Then the following Champions League campaign ended up with Valencia getting to the final again.
Yeah.
Against Bayern Munich. Yeah.
Two back-to-back finals for a side like Valencia.
Did they get on penalties?
They lost on penalties. Yeah. Funnily enough, right back at the start of that campaign, they had to go through a preliminary round, qualifying round, to reach that tournament.
And they got to the final. All the way to
the final.
Spurs this year.
They sailed through the first phase. Again, they were drawn against Manchester United in the second group phase, and they won the group that time. Then they knocked out Arsenal in the quarterfinal. And on goal difference, after Ray Parlour scored a great goal.
It was away goals, wasn't it?
Goal difference. Yeah. Sorry.
This is a bit harsh.
Ray Parlour scored a great goal in that tie, and then they beat Leeds in the semi final.
English clubs.
Is it fair to say that Leeds went from strength to strength after that, didn't they?
Yeah, they really got a taste for it. Then. That was their bloodlust for League One.
That was the game when all the Leeds players, apart from Ian Hart, shaved their heads.
The pictures of Alan Smith, he looks so young.
Incredible, really.
You know, that season Leeds wouldn't have made any money or even broke even if they'd won the league and the Champions League.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
That's crazy, isn't
bad it? Management.
Didn't Valencia add like players like Zarevic and
Zarevic? Zarevic, the Slovenian international, he was on the bench. So they got to the final against Bayern.
I used to really rate him, Zarevic.
He was a good player.
He was like Slovenia's only good player at that time.
Yeah. Deschamps was on the bench.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. I do as well. Yeah.
But that team, you know, who got to the final included Ayala at the back.
Yeah.
He was a great player, of course. Ruben Baraja.
Yeah.
Pablo Aimar.
I know you're talking. One of my favourite players,
I think. Yeah. I was gutted when I went to Benfica. He got injured in the warm up.
Yeah, oh, it's annoying.
I thought, well, it's definitely Aimar. There was any doubt. And Big John Carew up front.
Mm. Yes.
Big John Carew. They went 1-0 up in the opening minutes at the San Siro, I think that final was played, when Mendieta put his penalty away. On a note with Mendieta's penalties, actually, he was one for sending the keeper the wrong way.
Yeah.
Mm. He just rolled it in. Yeah. It was one of those ones where you just think, oh, that was so easy.
Yeah.
You know, how does he do that?
Yeah. He was flash without ever being a flash git.
Yes.
You know what I mean about Mendieta? It was like you deserve your flashness. It's all just class.
Yeah, I think that's class. Absolutely right. It's the right word. And he also really reminds me of... The Amish character in the film Kingpin.
Yeah, looks wise.
I forget who plays him. I can't remember who plays him.
Yeah, I know who you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, unfortunately, they lost on penalties. Mendieta did put his penalty away, of course.
Of course he did. He's in the Hall of Fame in a minute.
And I think we'll perhaps put that Valencia side in as well, because they were wonderful to watch. But
was Mista there at the time, or was that a bit later?
Mista was a couple of years later, I think. He was in the side who won the UEFA Cup. But people forget Mendieta was up there with the likes of Figo and Zidane.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, if you had a World 11, I mean, he was one of the best midfielders in the world. And for those two Champions League campaigns, he won the best midfielder in the Champions League for those two seasons. Again, awesome. Against the likes of Figo and Zidane and Beckham and Giggs and Keane and so on. Absolutely incredible. And some of his goals were superb. We talked about the volley. There was one which was mildly similar to, or quite similar to Pele's 58 World Cup final goal, which he scored against Atletico Madrid when Mendieta gets the ball in the box. Pete, you've seen this one.
I've seen this one.
He chests it, flicks it over the defence with his right and then volleys it in with his left.
His left, yeah. Yeah. It, me and you had an argument. I said it was. I said, oh, and we get so excited about Gazza's goal. And you said, well, Gazza's goal was good.
Well, it was.
Wasn't as good as that one, though.
Yeah, well,
the difference between that one and Mendieta's one, the Gascoigne's one, they're trying to defend it. The Mendieta one, the defenders don't really even know what's happening. Yeah. they're just standing.
What's he doing here? Yeah. What's he doing there?
Oh, yes, done.
So he's going to clear it for us.
I would not have thought of doing that.
Make a note of that.
But Valencia, you know, that, as you said earlier on, Luke, he was really the driving force behind them. And from that kind of period of 1999 to 2004, he did leave Valencia. After that final in 2001.
For an awful lot of money.
He was for 29 million to Lazio. But from 1999 to 2004, it's one of the most successful periods, possibly the most successful period in Valencia's history, because they actually went on, okay, without him, to win a couple of La Liga titles and a UEFA Cup. But I think
they
without playing like
again,
him,
they won the Copa del Rey again as well.
Yeah, without Mendieta, you know, that club perhaps wouldn't have been able to reach those highs and attract the players.
I'm telling you, he's a beating heart of that team, and his legacy was a long one.
And it was such a shame that he left and kind of missed out on all that, because he went to Lazio. And it
didn't really happen for him.
He didn't really play that much.
Was he there for one season?
I think he was there probably about 3 years in total, but he was loaned out. He was loaned out to Barcelona, which was quite an odd one. It just wasn't the same as the days at Valencia.
And that should have been brilliant.
Oh, I know.
It was the absolute zenith of his career. Yeah. It was the peak of his career.
Well, we haven't finished, Luke. Because he then oddly had a loan spell to Middlesbrough.
Which it was quite odd. It was definitely the peak of his career.
No, I was delighted when he signed for Middlesbrough. Well, it was great to see him.
Became a permanent switch in 2004. Do you know what though? He achieved that team. It was great to be a Middlesbrough fan at that time, because they won the Carling Cup, which is, I think, their first major cup trophy.
It is
in their history, which was fantastic and helped them reach the UEFA Cup final in 2006.
He scored some goals, man. Yeah, I think.
Yeah, he was decent in the Premier League. I mean, obviously, wasn't the player he was at Valencia, but he by no means embarrassed himself. It was great.
It wasn't the final payday for him. Really,
that was such an amazing season for Middlesbrough as well. Like when they went, they were like. Two-nil down, and then went up 4-2 or something. Like
they kept doing that, didn't they?
Yeah,
in,
they did
in Europe. And the game plan seemed to be
final.
Yeah, no, the game plan in the final seemed to be go 4-0 down and put five strikers on.
Yeah,
it didn't quite work though.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, but he said that his first couple of years, a few years at the club, were very good. But he said when Steve McLaren left and Southgate replaced him as manager, it all kind of went wrong, because he said Southgate, you know, he got on quite well with them, and then Southgate got in charge and said, "You're no longer part of the plans." And he was often training with the reserves, and it was such
That's
a
not on.
That is
it was
a disgrace.
It's such a shame the way his career finished.
It's a disgrace. I don't see the benefit in that.
Was that it?
Was that how it pretty much? Oh. And it just sort of faded.
But
out.
We'll have you.
Obviously, you know, none of us have got any coaching experience or anything. But for me, Mendieta, if he's not in your plans, fair enough. But he's under contract. You're telling me he's got nothing to give to the young players and the first team players. Of course, he's got loads of experience. Yeah. He can help out the first team no end.
Mm. Well, you look at, a big part of Julio's decision to take Robert Pires back to Villa, it seems to be based on that they can the younger players there can learn from Pires, and Mendieta is a sort of similarly sort of gifted player with a lot of technical ability and a lot to give.
And experience at the highest level.
Absolutely,
he's played two Champions League finals. You know?
So such a shame, really, to end his career.
But let's remember him as he was.
But absolutely, a part of that great Valencia side who reached back-to-back Champions League finals. A wonderful achievement, and of course helped Borough win their first League Cup. And play in their first European final too. And I'll let the great man have the last words. Because let's not feel too sorry. Because he said, "I have played in a Rome-Lazio derby, in a Barcelona-Real Madrid match, and they are the greatest games you can play in football. They have given me some incredible memories. And because of this, I can't regret anything that's happened." So Mendieta, come on into the team when that's all of fame. And bring your Valencia teammates from there.
Well, hang on. Bit of a grey area.
They're in.
Too late. They've shuffled in. Superb stuff.
Superb. Right, chaps, that is the end of the show. Hope you've had a lovely time. If you want to get in touch with us, the email address is podcast@thefootballramble.com, and of course the website is thefootballramble.com. Get yourself over there for some wonderful blogs. Our very own James or Jim writes one, and so do some other very talented bloggers too. And there's a lot of activity on the forum, Pete.
Yeah, get on the forum. We're giving away a copy of PDC World Championship Darts Pro Tour on the 360. We've got few copies to give away, so register, post in the suitable forum thread, and we're going to choose one at random this Sunday.
Incredible. We found a way to make darts less active.
That's right. Christmas drinks. Christmas drinks.
This is the penultimate time I'm going to say this because it's on the 18th of December, which is a week on 2 weeks on Saturday. So yeah, get yourself onto the Facebook group or onto the website and email in with your names and things like that. Because if your name's not down, you're not coming in.
But if you are wearing a Ramble t-shirt, one of the new ones, you get a free pint of beer.
Absolutely
up
right.
Up to the price of £3.50, I think. Is
yeah, up to and including the price.
Including, yeah.
So yeah, the Ramble drinks. It's always good fun every Christmas. So yeah, get yourself down. One thing I should say as well, actually, is our friends over at TestMatchSofa.com. I'll do an alternative commentary of the Ashes if you're into cricket. So the second test starts this Friday, so get yourself over there if you're into that sort of thing.
If you're cold as well, like a lot of people are, and you need a t-shirt, get yourself over to the shop section of our website where you can get yourself one of those free beer enabling t-shirts.
Yeah, the t-shirts themselves aren't free.
And follow the Football Ramble on Twitter, because we've got some audio boos going up, haven't we?
Oh yeah, twitter.com/footballramble. We did a little audio boo about the game, the El Clasico game last night.
Me and Jim.
You weren't invited. But if you can't wait for every Wednesday, you may find a little tiny mini ramble appears in your Twitter feed if you follow us. So that's twitter.com/footballramble. It's worth doing.
Yeah, there we go. I think that's it. Say goodbye, James or Jim.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
And say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
We're all off to shave Maradona. Ta-ta.
How did you get in here?
I'm a locksmith. And I'm a locksmith. ¿Qué cosa acaba de hacer Mendieta? Bueno, qué maravilla lo que acaba de hacer Mendieta.
Y el tercero del Valencia, el del 2-3, el golazo de Mendieta. Ilie saca de esquina y Mendieta dio la oportunidad y el espacio para cañonear un balón histórico a la escuadra.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.